the Taoiseachs to meet the HSE and the Vaccine Task Force this morning to discuss altering the country's COVID-19 vaccine programme. The rollout of injections has been hit with a delay to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and changes to the use of AstraZeneca. Johnson & Johnson is to pause deliveries of its single-shot vaccine to Europe pending an investigation of rare blood clots in the US. Martin Conway, the Fine Gael senator from Ennis-Dyman, and his party Shannon spokesperson on health and joins me via Zoom this morning. Martin Conway, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to see you. Thank you.
And you, Martin. Good to talk to you. This, a lot happening here, Martin, between mandatory hotel quarantine, between issues with vaccines. This is becoming a big, big mess, many people would say, Martin Conway.
Look, it's not ideal. Of that, there's no doubt, Pat. But what's happening here really is that the government and the advice to NIAC are basically acting in an abundance of caution, because the one thing that has to happen is that the public confidence in the vaccine itself is critical. And the only way that we can ensure that there is public confidence in it is absolutely to the letter of the law, follow the medical and scientific advice. And, you know, NIAC is made up of the experts who know the vaccine situation and the medical science and so on behind it inside out. And when they make recommendations, clearly, you know, the government then is duty bound to implement those recommendations and, if you like, recalibrate the rollout programme accordingly. So really what's happened is that on the advice of NIAC, who were themselves acting in an abundance of caution. And Professor Karina Butler on radio yesterday morning outlined that, you know, it was clearly just being absolutely cautious. And that caution, Pat, is really what gives me a great confidence in the vaccine itself, because of the fact that they are abiding by such and acting in such a cautious way. You know, gives me absolute confidence that the vaccines do work. And clearly, you know, we are at the mercy of the supplies coming into the country. And it was disappointing last night to hear that the Pfizer delivery to Europe is going to be stalled. But from our point of view, the effect of that will be really felt next June. Which is 2 months' time. So I would be very hopeful that between now and June that we will see whatever the issues and the technical difficulties around Johnson & Johnson vaccine, to see that will be resolved. And hopefully then it won't have a huge impact on the rollout of the vaccination program here.
But it's likely there will be some sort of knock-on, Martin, because we've heard everyone pretty much has said that they are, as you say, acting in an abundance of caution. This does instill some confidence, as you say, in the system. But the public who have been subjected to misinformation, to lack of information, to delays and confusion over the past 14 months might not see it that way. Their confidence could probably be waning. Are you concerned about that?
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, the medical people, the people from NIAC are constantly in front of cameras and on radio programs, you know, explaining their decisions, explaining the reasoning behind it. Because, you know, public confidence in the vaccine itself is at the moment, in my view, very high. There isn't a huge amount of vaccine hesitancy in this country. And we need to keep it like that. And it must also be remembered, Pat, that, you know, the Pfizer vaccine has been very successfully rolled out to hundreds of thousands of people at this stage. Over a million vaccine doses have been administered. Many of those have been the Pfizer-BioNTech, and there's absolutely no issues with that. And the rollout of that vaccine is on time and in line as such. So, look, I mean, I suppose I'm on here this morning to reassure people as best as we possibly can that, you know, the vaccine program and taking the vaccines and the rollout of the vaccine will be done as best as possible as it possibly can be. on public health advice and with the supplies as they come into the country.
But will it be done on time? You know, people are, I suppose, they're banking their future, banking on some sort of respite, some break during the summer, getting around the country, around the county at the very, very least. But will the target of having 80% of the population receive their first vaccination by June, is that likely to happen? Are you concerned that that might not happen? That will definitely dent public confidence once again.
Yeah, look, I'm hopeful that it will be at least as near to it as we possibly can be. There is a meeting this morning between the three government leaders and the task force that's responsible for planning the rollout of the vaccine program and NIAC to recalibrate the program. And, you know, when that recalibration has been decided upon, that will be made available to the public and it will be explained to the public. But look, I mean, the point is, I suppose, that the issues with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it was one in a million. In America. So I think there was about six or seven particular cases and you're talking about six or 7 million doses of the vaccine. So, you know, it's very, very, very rare. But at the same time, you know, the fact that it has been dealt with and it's been looked at has to give us confidence. You see, when they do these trials, Pat, for vaccines, the trials are of thousands of people. But when it actually goes live, you're talking about hundreds of thousands and millions of people, and there is a protocol in place where if there are issues there's a live feedback of those issues, and that's where this particular very, very rare issue rose. And as such, I suppose that, you know, it's again an abundance of caution.
The vaccine and the issues surrounding the vaccines is only one issue. The mandatory hotel quarantine has been a fiasco. It has fallen flat on its face. What can be done to save that? Do you believe that mandatory hotel quarantine is essential, firstly?
Because I agree that the mandatory hotel quarantining hasn't been handled in the best possible way. There doesn't seem to be any fair plan for people who find themselves in difficult, having to come home for emergencies or in difficult situations. And, you know, we've seen that in the courts over the last couple of days. I am firmly of the view that if people have received their vaccine and it can be certified and proved that they have received the vaccine, if they have their negative COVID tests, well, then I don't believe that mandatory hotel quarantining is necessarily the best option. In that case, I think quarantining at home would be the fairer option, to be honest about it. We're in a situation now where there's going to be, I think, something like 71 countries from next Thursday on the hotel quarantining are countries that will be requiring hotel quarantining people who travel here. And as such, I think that the capacity isn't there at the moment. I know that there are a lot of empty hotels around the country. I can't understand really why that capacity isn't there. So I think that there certainly there is a job work that needs to be done to resolve this issue and to essentially put proper structures in place that when somebody is coming home for very sad or emergency cases, there should be some way of fast-tracking them into and out of quarantining, especially if they have their vaccination and if they're in a situation where they can demonstrate that and they can demonstrate that they have received their COVID negative test.
I spoke earlier, and the interview will go out a little later on, with Professor Anthony Staines. He was making the point that maybe the Irish government should be covering the cost of people who are returning home and those who can well afford it, business people coming into the country, and they should pay for their own. Is that feasible?
Lewis, there is a system in place that if people are in a hardship situation financially, that an arrangement can be put in place in terms of their hotel quarantining bill. There was an announcement yesterday from Minister Simon Harris about students on Erasmus. When they come home, that the state will cover their hotel quarantining if the country they're coming from is one of the countries on the list at the time. So I think that if people who come into who have to come home and are in a position where they can't afford it, there is systems and a structure there to deal with that. But if people are travelling into the country during a pandemic, and if they can afford to pay for their hotel quarantining, I think it is reasonable that they would pay for it.
If I can go back for a moment to the mandatory hotel quarantining, where you suggest that people who can prove they've had the vaccine can quarantine at home. Well, surely if they're required to quarantine, shouldn't they be quarantining in a regulated space, although many would argue this isn't very well regulated?
That's a fair argument. Look, we're in a situation in this country where we've never had to do something like this before. In terms of European countries, the hotel quarantining system that we have in place is probably is the most rigorous and the most punitive. It's still a learning process. But I do think that we have to have a conversation around people who have received their vaccine, who have a PCR test that's negative. And when they come to the country, is it absolutely necessary that they spend 10 to 14 days in a hotel quarantining? I'm not sure that it is absolutely necessary. I'm not sure that it is in the best interest of public health. And I think that certainly we need to have a conversation around that now. I know that the medical and NPHET have given a view on this, and I do know that NPHET will continue to monitor this situation, and you know, hopefully they may be in a position where they might be able to make alternative recommendations going forward.
There are many departments, many groups, and of course many ministers involved in the collective battle to stamp out COVID-19, but the Health Minister, of course, Stephen Donnelly, is the one that's front and centre all the time, responsible for health in the country. Do you still have confidence, despite all that's happened and what continues to happen, do you still have confidence in the Health Minister?
Look at Pat, in fairness, Minister Stephen Donnelly is working night and day to try and deal with this pandemic. absolutely not everything has been got right. This government hasn't got everything right, no more than the last government got everything right. I absolutely believe that Minister Donnelly is doing his very best to resolve the issue and resolve the issues as they present to him. And, you know, from that perspective, of course, I have confidence that he's doing his best. Could he do better? Absolutely. But then we can all do better. You know, I think communications is extremely important. Clear communications and communicating with the public with as much live up-to-date information as is possible is critical in this. And, you know, on the positives, Pat, I think that the public by and large are very much abiding by and sticking to the public health advice. We had a good day on Monday because on Monday further restrictions were lifted. People from Ennis now can go up to Lahinch for a walk, and, you know, people from North Clare can go into Ennis, and you know, there is a bit more freedom of movement. We're also in a situation in a week's time where people who have been fully vaccinated can do some small amount of house visiting. So that's all made possible because we have rolled out the vaccine program. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, we're seeing the numbers going down. Yesterday was we only saw something like 350 cases. If you remember, like eight weeks ago, we were nearly on 1,000 cases a day. So, you know, the message is still very simple. By sticking to public health advice, by doing the basics that we have been doing all along, by keeping our distance, wearing masks, you know, abiding by hand washing and, you know, personal hygiene, and keeping our distance from people, not meeting in groups, as difficult and as hard and all as it is, and it is difficult and it's gone on now for over a year, but it is the one way to prevent this virus spreading, because this virus loves people and it loves crowds and it loves congregated settings and it loves people gathering. And, you know, the most basic, simple thing that we can all do everyone who's listening to the programme this morning is actually sticking to the public health advice and just not letting our guard down.
Okay.
And please God, as time goes on, we will see more of our citizens getting fully vaccinated. I mean, when I go to Lahinch and I see cars outside Dr. Michael Kelleher's and people being vaccinated, I just think that's always a good day, because the fact that people who received their first dose within 2 weeks have 70 to 80% immunity from this disease. So, you know, everybody out there who's got their first dose, you know, they are significantly more immune to receiving or to catching COVID-19 than if they hadn't the
okay.
vaccine.
Okay,
so,
Martin.
You know, there's a lot of positives as well, Patrick.
Okay, Martin Conway, thank you very much for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Clare Fine Gael, Senator Martin Conway from Ennis-Diamond, of course, and his party's Shannon spokesperson on health.